Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Kevin and Andrew, and this is the Jayhawk Talk Podcast. We are super excited to be joining you tonight. We've got a special guest on the podcast. Andrew, are you excited that we got us a football coach?
We finally got a football coach after a long, grueling two-week wait. We have Les Miles. It's actually kind of surreal to say out loud, Kevin. Les Miles, the coach of the University of Kansas Jayhawks, national championship winning Les Miles.
Yeah, it's crazy and super cool. Like I'm all in. Like I'm full throated supporting this hire. I'm super excited about it. There's a ton of buzz about KU football. And Andrew, there is someone out there who is starting to tweet about KU, who is related to Les Miles, who's getting a little publicity out on the Twitter sphere. She's also a podcaster, a fellow podcaster. And we're talking, of course, about Smacker Miles. She has said, get this, she's going to come on our podcast, making her KU podcast debut on the Jayhawk Talk podcast. How about that?
Well, that's her first mistake. I don't know how you convinced her to do that. But you know what? This is a podcast, you know, by the fans, for the fans. You can talk to all the media people you want, but when you want to get down home to like who are the real folks going to the games, it's us, and who better to ask some random questions about her dad, about KU football, about kind of that journey. I think it'll be pretty good. We haven't done it yet. It's not like we pre-recorded it. So we're both on the edges of our seats here.
Literally. Okay, let's pause. Let's not bury the lead. Let's get Smacker in here and talk a little Les Miles to Kansas. All right, we are back and we are joined by the one and only Smacker Miles. She is, of course, the daughter of new KU football head coach Les Miles. Smacker has been involved in her dad's decision to choose Kansas and even accompanied him to Lawrence last week to check out the town. Do I have that right, Smacker?
That's right.
All right. She's also the host of the Less is More podcast. So we couldn't wait to ask a fellow podcaster to join the Jayhawk Talk podcast. Thanks so much for joining us tonight, Smacker.
Of course. And I appreciate that one and only intro. I don't know that. I don't know about it, but I like it.
I'm pretty sure you're the one and only Smacker Miles. Like I'm just throwing it out there. I'm guessing if we look it up, there are no others. So before we get started, Smacker, before we get started kind of talking about your dad and the decision and coming to Kansas and all that stuff, we want to give the listeners some background on you. I know you're a Texas Longhorn. We're going to have to get rid of some of that orange and put a little blue in there. But I also know you're a hell of a swimmer, right, at Texas, and now you're pursuing a career in sports journalism. Is that all correct?
That's all right. Yep. I swam from the time I was little, and I wanted to be a sideline reporter from the time I was little. So it's old news, but you got it right.
Awesome. Perfect. Perfect. Smacker, I listened to your podcast, the latest one that you did with your dad about kind of the journey. And I just want to know before we begin, they took you around Lawrence and you said you got a time maybe look at some houses. What did you get to see at Lawrence? I'm curious to know like what the tour was because, you know, Lawrence is it's a smaller town, but there's a lot to it. So I'm kind of curious what your journey was.
Right. So to explore on foot because I feel like that's the only way I can actually keep my bearings, like you say, even though I know it's not a big place when you're kind of shuffled in and really behind, you know, we were basically hidden the first day. So we were going through back doors and not even really seeing the nicest parts of campus that day. So the next day I ran, we were staying right by Massachusetts Street. And so I ran all through Massachusetts Street and down by the river. And I loved all of that. That area was so much fun. And then the next day I got to make it to campus and all of those thoughts about hearing that Kansas is flat. Well, I think that the freshmen must really earn their calves because it was a pretty hilly campus to me. It was absolutely beautiful. So I guess it was pretty surprising. Everyone I had ever talked to said it was nice. And they would compare it to Austin. But in my mind, I was just like, I don't know if they know Austin. Or like, I don't know if they know this college town. And then sure enough, it was honestly the view from the tower looking down into the stadium is seriously one of the prettiest campus views I've ever seen.
Awesome. Well, I think if I remember this right, Andrew, you don't have to take physical education at Kansas because they just assume that you've got enough walking around. Is that a myth? Is that right?
I think that is correct. I did not have to take PE. And I figured out a way to walk around campus without the hills, without having to do it. I think I got around that little loophole.
That's difficult.
I might have to come to you for that advice.
There's just a couple spots. Like sometimes you can't avoid it, but sometimes you have to go through some little residential areas and you could end up a little bit better on the Cavs.
So what do you think? Why do you think Kansas stood out for your dad? Like what about Kansas, the job, the people, the opportunity, you know, maybe it's Jeff Long. What really stood out to him and made this decision the right one for him?
I mean, in complete honesty, we knew that Jeff Long was there, and it was one of those things that you kind of started looking at early on. And my sister started to have a Jayhawk chant a while back, and we love the Big 12, having been at Oklahoma State, and obviously I went to Texas. So it's kind of crazy because by the time it was actually official, we had kind of already had our hearts warmed to Kansas and the idea of Big 12 football and taking on the challenge of rebuilding the Jayhawks program. So it's, you know, everything stood out to him. It was one of those things that it's the right fit. And I don't have any questions looking back about should we be doing this, should we not? It just, especially when we got there, even more confirmed this is the right thing. And my dad said how well he got along with Jeff and how much he admired him, but I had heard stories that were old and I was young, so it's not like I really knew Mr. Long. And getting to be around him, he's funny and he's inspiring and he's well-spoken and he's a leader. So I, once again, just completely agreed with the decision as far as my dad's evaluation of Mr. Long being a great person to be around.
So Kansas is not an easy place to win football games. I think we've seen that over the past decade and really other than maybe a few bright spots for a long time. Take someone that's going to put their heart and soul into it. Someone that's going to be a grinder. You know, Mark Mangino used to say you got to keep sawing wood to be successful at Kansas. Do you believe your dad embodies that kind of grinder mentality and is going to sink his energy in building the program the right way? And any examples you've seen from the past that might show that to be the case?
I really do. My dad's gotten the reputation for being a jokester and being kind to the players and being loving, but people don't see the fire behind closed doors and the way he can just get fired up. And sometimes you'll be talking to him about football and all of a sudden his voice is raised and he's into it. And you're kind of looking at him like, I love you. And I know you're not yelling at me, but it sure seems like it. So he absolutely has that kind of passion. He really has a poker face as far as his competitiveness, because people have no idea. He hides it from the media. He's a little bit subtle as far as not wanting to give things away when he talks to the media. And I honestly, I know I'm his kid, but I support that. I think it's a smart way to be as a football coach. But I think he has the passion and the competitiveness that people don't even know he has. And just hearing him talking to recruits in the last week it's just, wow. Like he still has it. And I mean, I've been there as his kid, but good luck getting off the phone without committing because he doesn't want to hear it. You know what awesome. I mean? He really is like that. And it's impressive when he gets on a roll and obviously he's done it. He's done it quite a bit. He has his spiel ready to go, but he believes that spiel and it's very convincing and it's very transparent because he means it.
Well, what's something else that KU fans need to know about your dad? I think we have seen, you know, the guy in the press conferences on ESPN. We've seen the guy that, you know, people are putting up the clips. But, you know, what's something about him that you think that we need to know about what we're getting as a football coach?
You know, every person that I've talked to, whether it's a friend or a family member or media, has said, why Kansas? And almost to the point that it's like, what do you mean, why Kansas? Like, it's a Power Five job. It's a place that has the potential to win. What do you mean, why? And I think that one thing people overlook is that he's a football coach. And yes, he has a little bit of a media personality, and he's lighthearted, and he's creative, and he's funny, and he's an outside-the-box thinker, but he wants to coach football. And he's a guy that's going to be happiest coaching football. And I think it's another example we saw this week with Mac Brown. It's like, oh, I'm sure it's all fun and games at ESPN, but in the back of my mind, I always knew, no, he wants to be in a team room, and he wants to know the team and not just act like he knows the team. And I think that as much as you say, what is there to know about him? And there's tons of things to know about him, and he's wonderful, but you're getting a guy that loves football, and he wants to come, and he's going to be as happy as the wins he gets. And he's not looking for low expectations or high expectations, because he has high expectations for himself, and he's the one that has to go to work, and no one wants to win worse than he does. So I think that you're just getting a football coach and a guy that's ready to do his job, and that's going to do it to the best of his ability.
That's awesome. So you mentioned recruiting, and you mentioned the spiel that he has on the phone. And, you know, we've already seen a number of prospects noting on Twitter, hey, just got offered by Les Miles. Hey, just got off the phone with Les Miles. So he's obviously working those phones pretty well. We want to see that. But do you know if he's also working the phones on trying to build out a coaching staff? Is that something that has a timeline that would be somewhat imminent, or do you think it'll be kind of maybe a couple of weeks till we see some names start to pop out from there?
He'll take his time and evaluate it right and give people the right opportunities and do a thorough evaluation of each position, but he wants to get a staff in place badly. He wants, like I said, he wants to have a team, and he wants to have a staff around him. And obviously him recruiting is great, but him recruiting with his staff in place is much more effective. So I would say that, yes, he is very much so in an urgent way to get a staff put together. And yes, we have been working the phones. And when I say working the phones, I mean working them, because it's just unknown numbers and resumes coming, and who do I send a resume to? On Thanksgiving Day, he put me and my little sister to work before 8 a.m. And by noon, I had gotten it down to 290 texts.
Awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yes, working the phones. Me and my sister.
That's awesome. It's a family affair. No problem with that.
Yeah.
Well, I think that recruiting is a big issue that people want to know about, and the coaching staff is the issue that people want to know about. But I think most importantly, Jayhawk fans want to know about this acting career, this IMDb page that has been growing for the past couple of years. I've watched a trailer about the Challenger disaster. Your dad looks pretty intense in that movie. So how did that come about, and is that going to be put on hold, or how's this going to work out?
It's definitely on hold. That's on the back burner in the worst way. You know, that one was not wildly surprising. He's a movie guy. He loves to watch movies. It's kind of his only way that he unwinds from football. Any other hobby that he thought he had, he learned, was not a hobby of his. So he would always take us to movies, and he would kind of even have like family meetings after the movies where we'd have to say our favorite part and our least favorite part and which character was the best, and kind of like break it down. And I remember a couple times him being like, well, like, which character would I be? And it's kind of like, I mean, I don't know, Dad. I have no idea. None of them. And he would like be offended that like I didn't think he was going to pull off like the young buff like hero role or whatever. I remember that. That was a good one. He was like legitimately offended. So I think he's just a guy that kind of believes in taking on a new challenge. I don't think he actually thought that he was the best at it, but I think it was just something that it was kind of a hobby of his that he wanted to explore. And I think he explored it and had fun with it. But once again, I mean, acting's very solo. He was studying lines by himself, and he did. He studied lines. He studied them hard and everything, and he practiced them, and he would ask us how he did on them. But it wasn't the same as the dynamic of having a staff and watching film together, going out to practice with the team and then telling the family about how practice went.
Gotcha. That makes sense. Well, we're sad to see the IMDb page may not be growing anytime soon, but certainly happy to have him at Kansas, maybe pursuing a career that he's very good at. The other question that I know KU fans are absolutely burning up my mentions about, and I think you're getting tagged in all of them too, it's all about this grass eating. So I just want to get this out there. Like, there's, I don't know, 7 or 8 people ask about grass eating, and everyone is very concerned that we don't have real grass at Kansas. We've got the composite fake grass stuff that kind of still like flies up dirt when you run on it, so it feels like it's grass, but it's not. Everyone's a little concerned. Is he going to be okay that there's no real grass on the field?
He is really a problem solver. So if you see a patch of grass brought on by what looks to be a graduate assistant or someone in a similar role, I wouldn't say that would be surprising. And if he believes that is going to be the best thing, then he will make sure it's done.
So I would like to go ahead and submit Andrew and I's resume for the job of bringing the grass in. Can we just go ahead?
No, we have very fine full-time jobs, but we are willing to make time.
I can make that happen.
To make this happen.
Is he a Bermuda guy?
Is St. Augustine? On Saturdays?
Zoysia, buffalo grass. Does he have a preference in grass?
You know, I saw that tweet and I was like, I honestly, I knew that there were grasses that looked different, but I didn't know there were types of grasses. And you know, he likes his green smoothies, but I would be willing to bet he could not tell you any names of grass types.
Fair enough. Well, that's fine for now. But seriously, though, if that becomes a job, you let us know. You know where to find us. We are ready.
I will.
Ready to serve. So we've listened to the Less Is More podcast, as Andrew mentioned. Will that be sticking around in some iteration now that your dad's at Kansas, or is that kind of going on the back burner like the acting career for a little while?
We really don't know. The Kansas Communications Department had mentioned that they would like to keep it going. And obviously having the resources of him being at the university would make it a lot easier. But I have no idea as far as the scheduling, and obviously the content would be completely different now because, trust me, he'll be all into his team and no one else's. So it would become a just Kansas podcast, which is totally fine. And there's still plenty to talk about, but we are trying to kind of figure out the best way to go about that and just making sure it makes sense for everyone.
Just want to tell you, Kevin, there was a time when just you and I had the only KU podcast. Now Les Miles is getting up in our turf
game. KU podcast
getting in our turf on KU podcast.
Get up out of our turf, Les. Stay in your lane.
It should be a group podcast. Come on.
Now we're talking.
We can be friends.
We invite all the podcasts. I know there's others that listen. We invite all that. We love all the podcast. More podcasts, the better. Especially one that has Less Miles and Smack of Miles on it. We prefer that podcast maybe to ours.
Thank you.
For being honest.
Thank you.
Oh man. Okay. So I have a question for you. This is sort of you've been to Lawrence, you've seen the stadium. You're probably just there for a couple of days. Do you have any questions for us? Because Andrew and I are experts on Memorial Stadium. We are experts on game day. We are experts on Lawrence, except for like the most recent new bars, because we both moved out a few years ago and they change over sometimes. But other than that, any questions you have for us?
We want to be a resource now or later.
I really appreciate that. I was wondering, do they have a walk or do we have a walk? Like a walk to enter the stadium, like where the fans are on Saturdays?
Not really. Kind of.
Well, yeah.
On the hill? Like, is that what you're talking about, Andrew?
Yeah, on senior day.
Yeah.
But there's not like every day. So like, you know, other schools have.
So there's not on like a normal Saturday.
The band comes down the hill, but the team is just warming up. So maybe we need to work on this.
We need to work on this.
We can be problem solvers.
I like where your head's at.
I think that we're going to have to, we're going to have to find a time because Dad likes to see the family. He's very into that, almost superstitious about making sure he sees us on the walk. So we're going to have to find a meeting place.
I like this.
But we have some time to figure it out.
Well, again, Andrew and I would like to submit our resumes for figuring out the walk. We're great urban planners on the site as well. We can work through planning around Lawrence. Any other questions?
That's all I have.
That's all you got. All right, perfect, perfect. Well, we really appreciate you coming on this podcast, Smacker. We are excited, very excited for you and your family to now be part of the Jayhawk family. And if there's anything you ever need from Andrew and I, you know where to find us.
I really appreciate that. Thanks, guys.
All right. Well, we can't wait to see that white hat in the sideline, and hopefully you get to Lawrence too and check out some of the games this next year. We're very excited. Hopefully we can get some W's for the Jayhawk family, because we're kind of hurting for some W's, Smacker.
Absolutely. That's the goal.
All right. Right on. Well, thanks again. Have a great night, and we'll talk to you.
Thank you. You too. Bye.
We are back. Andrew, that was awesome. We had Smacker on.
With all apologies to Brian Haney, one of the bigger guests we've ever had.
Who else have we had on? We had Jeff Goodman on, right?
He's okay.
Who else have we had? We've had
Matt Norlander a couple times.
Matt on there. Some other beat writers.
Rob Doster came on once.
Okay. He was terrible.
Remember
Doster?
It was so bad. Sorry, Rob. Rob.
Like your writing, like your tweeting.
Man, I think it was just an off day for you.
I think it was.
But Smacker, probably, with all apologies to Brian Haney. All apologies. One of the better guests we've ever had.
She was great.
She's obviously like media savvy, because like that's her job, and she wanted to talk about her dad. And I think she talks about her dad very well, and I think we got some good insights there.
Absolutely. So let's jump into the less to Kansas thing a little bit. We've obviously talked to Smacker, got her perspective, got a little bit of a perspective into Coach Miles' mind. But we got a few other topics here. The first one that jumped out to me, Andrew, was the contract. I don't know what we said on the podcast. Maybe we said nothing about this, but I think most people were anticipating it might be, you know, pretty big money, $4 or $5 million a year. Ends up being a little less than that, to something with some incentives, with some interesting incentives. We might get to that. But were you surprised to see the contract at the numbers that it was?
Yes, very surprised. I mean, it's was it 2.775 or something like that?
Right.
That's not going to be in an upper echelon of coaching in college football, and certainly not, I mean, you know, close in the Big 12. I think Bill Snyder is going to make more money. And you think as coaches get hired, as the coaching arms race kind of goes up and up, those salaries go up and up. So maybe it's a deal where, you know, incentive based, you win, you're going to get paid. And if you don't, then you're not. And that's, you know, and maybe, you know, at this point in his career, he's not looking for, you know, having an agent go out there and get them the maximum bottom dollar, but maybe it's more about culture, more about fit, more about where you want to be. And, you know, if you're going to leave money on the table, which I think he did a little bit, that's okay.
Yeah, I think you're right.
What, you know,
the bonuses, the incentives, my favorite one, Andrew, team GPA, 2.65 or higher, $25,000, 2.75 or higher, $50,000. All right.
2.75, man.
It. All right. So come on.
Well, first of all, Kevin, you were never in a fraternity. Do you know how hard it is to get more than a handful of people to get a GPA higher than 2.75? It is so hard.
Really?
It is really hard. Yes, I agree with your face. I just saw your face. You made that face. I agree with that face, but man. But I mean, they're going to have study hours, and they're going to have to put the work into it. So I like that incentive. I like that that's a thing.
Bowl game, $75,000. Big 12 championship game appearance, $100,000. This is my favorite part, though. If you win 6 games in a season, a 1-year, one-time rollover extension to a 6-year contract. That's a great idea. We've been lobbying on this podcast to just pay every coach by the win. I've always thought it's like pay them $500,000 for every win.
75 or 0.75 million. So 750,000 per win. I'd be happy with that.
Yeah. And so would most coaches. Like, if you get someone in
here. So if you win 10 games, you got $7.5 million. Yeah. Like, that's the perfect contract for this.
This is perfect. But anyway, that's okay. He does get $1 million for a national championship game appearance, Andrew. So we started from the bottom. Now we there, hopefully.
Yeah.
But anyway, I thought the contract was surprising. But you know what, Andrew? If he goes and wins 5 or 6 games next year and then wins 7 or 8 games the next year, I am 100% certain that contract is going to be renegotiated. Don't you think
it becomes, absolutely. Contracts, you know, this, I know this. All contracts can be renegotiated, especially when someone has leverage, and when you're winning games, you certainly have a little bit of leverage. And, you know, if it's at that point, you know, it's not my money, you know, I do donate to the Williams Fund, but, a certain point, fans shouldn't get too deep into the weeds here on cash. Cause it's not ours.
Speaking of the Williams Fund, Andrew, they are working the phones hot and heavy right now. I think everyone listening to this
because
podcast
they haven't,
has probably gotten a call from the athletics department.
All their energy for the past 4 years. I get those calls. Do you know how like hard it is for those guys to make those calls? I know. Last summer,
bless
like,
their heart.
Are you gonna renew your season tickets? Like, yeah.
And then we have.
You are? You surprised that we said yes? It's like, oh. This is the best day I've had all week. I got somebody to say yes. We do need to get fans out there. I mean, I only went to one game this year, but because I did have a child, I do have an excuse. But the field or the stadium needs to be full, especially for a Les Miles coach team. We do have a little bit of an obligation to fill that place.
It's not going to take much to double the attendance. I mean, like, literally, it's not going to take a lot to just double the attendance.
All right, Kevin, let's move on and talk a little bit about the press conference. I watched it on YouTube, streamed it on YouTube, which you can do nowadays.
Me too.
You know, newfangled computers.
Fancy.
Yeah. And I just want to get your general thoughts. I think it was a little weird.
It was a little weird. You know, I'm willing to except the
I'm not saying he was weird, and I'm not saying Jeff Long was weird. I'm just saying the situation
whole
was kind
a little
of
strange.
Weird.
Yeah, because we've seen a lot of these in the past few years. New coach press conferences. Unfortunately, we've seen a lot of them. And you know, I remember like Dave Beatty like came and he like crushed it, right? He like crushed the entire press conference. He said all the right things. He was obviously prepped and ready and ready to roll and said all the things you wanted to hear as a KU fan. Tons of energy, tons of excitement. You know, everyone's like, wow. But as we know, that doesn't necessarily mean anything about winning football games. Les Miles doesn't have to win a press conference to win football games because we know he can win football games. So I'm not really too worried about that. I think it was probably a long day. I think Jeff Long said some awkward jokes that just didn't quite land. And it was kind of weird, but you know what?
I'll say this. After the press conference, I had some friends from SEC country text me, we're kind of smack talking. And I'm like, if we have SEC people smack talking KU football,
how about that?
I think we made an okay choice. I think we're in a good spot. Like, they saw the press conference. They saw some of the stuff. Now they're kind of, they feel like we're not this wounded dog. Like they're going to leave alone. Now they're actually coming after us a little bit.
It's because we're going to be recruiting down there, baby. We're going to be stealing their players.
Well, we'll see about that.
I'm not too worried about it. Plus the Hawk Talk thing afterwards was a lot better. So
I heard the Hawk Talk thing went great.
Yeah, it was
good. There's great turnout. And that's probably more of a natural setting for, to find out, you know, what the real deal is.
Yeah. So Andrew, the next topic, we talked about it with Smacker a little bit, but coordinators and assistants, I'm not going to throw names out there because I think it's a waste of our time on, you know, who's going to be the coordinator. Where,
Larry Fedora.
Remember when we wanted him as a coach? But I think one of the open questions is who do we retain? And the obvious one has to be Tony Holt, right?
I think that's the obvious one, but even that's in jeopardy. I think he's going to want a clean staff. He's going to want to have Les Miles guys, and don't blame him if he doesn't keep Tony Hole. That's fine.
He's keeping Tony Holt. That's 100%.
It makes too much sense. It makes too much sense. Like just from the 100%. Footprint.
100%.
Makes too much sense.
I agree.
Especially because he's bringing all those Louisiana guys, and is he currently a running backs coach?
Yes. And
so, you know, bright spot in the offense. And what's that?
And he's associate head coach. He's got a pretty big title now. I know.
Got that pay raise. That's right.
Keep him around. What do you think about Dave Beatty going out to University of Texas to do a little scouting down there against the Oklahoma Sooners coming up for that Texas Oklahoma game? Did you see this?
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it.
Good for him.
He doesn't work here anymore.
Good for him.
He can do what he wants.
No, I mean, I don't care about us. I mean,
I wish him the best. And I
like the OU guys were concerned about it. I'm like, what? You're concerned about Dave Beatty?
Well, we have done okay against. Well, we did okay against Oklahoma.
Yeah.
With inferior talent, so maybe there's something you can do with Texas talent that he wouldn't know. You know, and I don't question Dave Beatty's football mind. I think he's got a great football mind, just didn't quite get it put together here. So I think he'd be a valuable asset. And you know what? He's going to go be an offensive coordinator somewhere, probably pretty big school, and do okay for himself. I'm not worried about Dave Beatty.
Yeah, he'll be fine. He actually, you know, to his credit, he closed out his career at Kansas with every ounce of class that you could possibly want from a coach in that situation. And not just that, like his team performed. Like they didn't get the W's, but they played hard. I mean, they've always played hard for him, but that could have gone a different way, and it didn't. He was great, and the teams were great. It was fun games to close the year, competitive games, which is what Kansas fans have been wanting to see. And absolutely, I think you're exactly right. He played his way into another gig, certainly with those last few games. Andrew, what about some player reaction? Have you seen some of these players on Twitter, some of these news stories coming out? Puka sounds pretty happy about the less hire. Some other guys, especially the Louisiana guys, are excited.
I think most importantly, Puka's dad was excited.
Yeah.
I think that's probably the most important person you got to convince is Puka's dad. And if Puka's dad's on board,
I'm
okay with it. And you know, some of these guys are excited because they know who he is. He's kind of a celebrity type of coach, and they're excited to be with him. But you know, it's a tough time. They're just losing their guy that they just went out and, you know, spilled blood for on the field. Now this new guy's coming in, but you know, it's not some stranger. It's not some guy who, isn't proven. It's a guy that can, you know, if you listen to him, you do what he says, he can probably take you a long way. So I'm not surprised by that reaction. It could be a lot worse. It could be indifference. I think indifference would be the worst thing, because no one's going to come out and say, this is terrible, I'm not going to do it.
Right.
But, you know, I think we're in a good spot with the current players.
I laughed at people on Twitter responding when we got less and generally speaking, when, we were talking about player reaction, and people were saying, man, I'm so scared about all these players transferring. I'm like, who would transfer? I'm like, are you that much of a Dave Beatty guy that you want to be like somewhere else because Dave Beatty's not here? Two, where are you going to go where you've got a better opportunity to play right now? Nowhere. Right. Unless you're a quarterback. The only position that I'll allow anybody to talk about with transfer is a quarterback. And then three, God dang, Les Miles is coming. I mean, obviously you want to play for that guy. So, yeah, I'm not buying any of that transfer talk. We might lose a couple from general attrition, which happens every year to every program. But I feel pretty good about who we will be returning. Andrew, we talked about it a little bit, but Jeff Long, the press conference was a little weird. We'll give him a pass there. He did admit to throwing the scent off the beat writers on sending planes to different places. What do you think of that?
Super weird.
Kind of weird.
Like, why? What's the point of that? Like, in terms of like practical jokes, I'm all about practical jokes, but
yeah.
Like, is that a good practical joke? Like, that's pretty elaborate.
I think he probably thought it was funny.
Yeah. And you know what? Whatever.
I don't care. I thought it was kind of funny.
The Twitter stuff was kind of funny, but like when you're literally like faking a flight manifest.
That's next level.
To throw off Les Miles, who ended up being the coach. Like if wouldn't you have sent it to Tuscaloosa, or wouldn't you send it to, didn't we talk about that?
That would be way better.
Right.
This plane just landed in Foxboro. I don't know.
That would be hilarious.
Andrew, what about, so back to the actual press conference and some of his comments afterwards, you hear his comments on his offensive philosophy. Because there were some questions about, hey, you know, your offense has kind of stalled at LSU your last few years. What are you going to do differently? What have you been thinking about? And he actually defended himself pretty well, saying, you know, we're gonna adapt our game to our personnel. And he kind of gave examples where, well, we had, you know, no quarterback, we had a great running game, so we did that, and we had a great quarterback, and so we did that. And do you have any reaction sort of to his comments there? And I don't know, do you think we need to get creative from an offensive coordinator perspective?
In terms of being creative, like, sure. I mean, I just want a strong, capable guy, best candidate who's going to be able to run a capable offense. But I mean, I think it's good that he's introspective and good and reflective about, you know, changes he can make in his offensive philosophy or offensive game plan, the way he prepares for things. So, I mean, I think that's good. I think being away from the game allows you to kind of see things from a more holistic perspective rather than just looking, you know, at what you're doing that minute, that day. So maybe he can bring that knowledge into it. And I think that I'm not worried about his offense. I mean, we've got the guys to at least make a run at it. But like he said, that's what I was going to say is, like he said in his press conference, when you have a good quarterback, things can go pretty well.
Yeah.
So I think that that's another thing that's got to get done. I don't think that the solution at quarterback is currently on the roster, despite the roulette of players and mostly, you know, failure to average success of the guys who are in there this year. So maybe you can turn somebody on that roster, Carter Stanley, maybe into a guy, but I think it's elsewhere.
My maybe one of my favorite things that came from the press conference, Andrew, was he was talking about recruiting, and he was referencing JUCO guys and how, you know, there's a lot of great JUCO talent in Kansas, and then he called them, quote, emergency players. So like you're filling out your class. And if you got one or two spots left, you need to fill out the class. You go to JUCO for emergency players. That is music to the ears of Kansas fans who have been playing the JUCO game for the last several years and have been stuck in this perpetual problem with
speaking of JUCO. Just a quick plug for the Garden City Bronkbusters.
Oh,
we'll be playing in the JUCO National Championship.
Oh boy.
Held in Pittsburgh, Kansas.
How about that?
This Thursday.
There you go.
This Thursday. Can I call myself an alumni of Garden City Community College if I have 6 hours of math credit from there?
Sure. I've got 6 hours of math credit from Washburn. Can I call myself an Ichabod beyond the law school thing?
Yeah. It's the same deal. Like okay. The same.
Yeah, same. I went to undergrad at Washburn. You know, what? No big deal.
So, okay, just quick plug for JUCO guys. And if we do end up with some JUCO guys, only Garden City players are allowed. Otherwise, we got to go get those freshman guys.
And emergency situations only. In emergency situations only. Well, Andrew, I think that's a lot. We just talked about football for like 38 minutes.
Wow.
And some people during KU basketball season, by the way.
By the way, we have a undefeated basketball team who's currently not ranked number one. We'll get into that.
We're football school.
But we just talked for 40 minutes about football, not basketball. But Kevin, I want to talk about some basketball.
All right. Let's transition from football school talk, because we are football school now, to basketball talk. And Andrew, we just got done out in New York City, the NIT preseason, whatever it's tip called, tip-off thing. And we won. We were the winners of the tip-off. We get a trophy for that. How about that?
Woo.
And we did not cut any nets, which I'm disappointed about. I like cutting nets. But we kind of got out of those games. You know, they were not maybe our best basketball, but still found a way to win two games, and especially grinded the last one out against Tennessee. Where do you want to go with this?
Well, I just initially, you know, in terms of how we're playing, I'd recommend a piece written by Matt Norlander from a couple days ago that kind of digs into this basketball team. And he kind of goes into how KU's really not playing all that well. But when you look at what they've accomplished, they're undefeated with two top 10 wins. And really, Bill Self's one of the only coaches where he can have a team that's not playing very well at all. Not at all, but like they're not at their maximum and still have two top 10 wins and, you know, should be ranked number one in the country. But we're not going to complain too much about that. But if you dive into it, Quentin Grimes, other than his first game, has been a bit of a no-show. And Bill Self said that's kind of in his head. Otherwise, you know, Dedrick Lawson somehow scores 24 points a game and gets 13 rebounds, but you wouldn't notice.
That's what we said. We said that the very first exhibition game, you're going to look down, you're going to see Dedrick Lawson's got 20 and 10, and you're going to go, wait, how did he do that? And it's going to happen a lot, except for that one game where it didn't.
Except for that one game, he had zero. And then the only one you can really say are like incredible bright spots are Doak, who hasn't gotten better at free throws, and Devon Dotson, who is playing great. And LeGerald Vick, who's been amazing. Well, okay, I buried the lead. Let's just talk about LeGerald Vick the rest of the way. LeGerald Vick is awesome. I did the math. He has been averaging about 20 points a game. Go ahead and double check my work here. 20 points a game pre-Thanksgiving the past 2 years. So up until Thanksgiving, he's averaging like All-American numbers. He did have 15 in the game last Friday, Black Friday, post-Thanksgiving. So let's hope this continues on. But LeGerald Vick, as Bill Self called him, the one of the hottest players in the country, maybe the hottest player in the country, doesn't miss from three, Kevin.
Mr. November. I
want him to be Mr. December and January and February and March.
I want to see it some more, Andrew. Listen, he's unconscious right now from three-point range, which is a blast. Kind of that. Remember when Brandon Green went through that stretch where he just couldn't miss? I love it. It's fun to see, and he's obviously feeling it. And my favorite part about it, other than a few times during that Tennessee game, he's generally been shooting good shots. And he's got a couple times where he got low and got to the basket. But, Andrew, like he's not still that great off the dribble. He's not going to create his shot. He needs to shoot in rhythm. He needs to get the, you know, inside out. And I don't know. It just seems to me like unless
he's that's okay.
And that's totally.
We're not asking him to be the point guard. You've got creators on the floor, especially with Dedrick Lawson. Yep. Dotson, who's always looking to pass. Charlie Moore, who's been up and down, but been pretty solid and had to be when Marcus Garrett was out this last game against Tennessee. You know, he can be that deep threat. He can spread the floor, give Doak some space because you have to play LeGerald honest from the three at all times. So I think that having that as a weapon, you know, he doesn't need to play 35 minutes a game, even though he has been playing a ton of minutes. But he just gives you another look and another weapon. And a guy who's currently shooting, I think, 58% from three, you're going to want to keep on the floor until he cools off. Mr. Heat Check. LeGerald Vick is the only player probably in college basketball that can have a heat check 20 seconds into a game.
I had no problem with it. None at all.
Like literally you watch that shot and I think it was a Tennessee, like that's already a heat check. It's like 19:17 left in the game. Like,
every time he makes an early three, the first thing I tweet is heat check coming every single time. And I'm never wrong.
But you know what? Let him shoot until
he misses. I agree.
He's not doing anything wrong. Okay. Otherwise, you know, go read that piece by Matt Norlander. This team has a long way to go. It's number two team and ranked team in the country, but you know, there's a lot that this team could get better at. I mean, obviously if Quentin Grimes plays the way he does in that game against Michigan State, this team is even better. If Doak stays on the floor, this team is even better. And then guys like Marcus Garrett, you know, got to come back from a concussion and not take 13 shots a game.
Jesus, no more 13 shot games.
Play even better. So, you know, let's give a little preview of the games coming up. We've got Stanford on Saturday. and then Wofford the next Tuesday. This is one of those weeks that I think Bill Self likes. Doesn't play for eight days. Can get his guys rested. Well, he can wear his guys out, get them rested, wear his guys out, get them rested, put in some more offense, look at some more defensive looks. I think he likes these extended stretches. I think we've got one more of these during finals week coming up, but I expect a different team, you know, because Bill Self, you know, he's known for this, doing wonders in December. We're not in December yet, but when he has a little extra time, his team can really come together.
Our next three games, Stanford, Wofford, New Mexico State, KenPom has us winning by about 20 in all three games. So I agree. This would be the time where we try to get guys like Quentin Grimes right. You know, we should try to get him right, get him comfortable in the offense, try to figure out where Diedrich really fits in the offense too. I mean, he's getting his points, he's getting his rebounds, but until that Tennessee game, I didn't really see how it was really working with him. Now, again, the Tennessee game happened with Doak on the bench for the most part, and it worked, and he was playing well, but Doak was on the bench, so I want to see those two play well together. I'm not quite sure it's worked out quite yet. And then, as you mentioned, I like Marcus Garrett, and I like him being able to come in and spell these guys and play some good minutes and play good defense, but homeboy cannot shoot 13 shots anymore. Like, it is not working. He can't shoot 13 shots because he's not a good three-point shooter. And if he's driving to the rim, unless he makes it, he's getting fouled, and dude can't make free throws either. Like, he and Doak should have free throw competitions. I'm not sure who I'd take. But anyway, so we'll see. I like Marcus Garrett a lot, though. We need him. There were times when we obviously needed him. And Grimes was not playing. Like, he did not play for long
stretches. Charlie Moore got all those minutes.
He got all those minutes. And he played okay. I think he still didn't. He was not very efficient either on the offensive end, but he moved the ball. He gets to the rim a little bit. We'll see where he kind of fits. But, yeah, there's a long way to go with this team. And you're right. Somehow we're 6-0. Bill Self was freaking jacked after that Tennessee game, though. Because you could tell it was a grind game. We did not have every player. We did not have our best game. But, you know, he questioned the toughness, which is what he does in November and December. Questioned the team's toughness. And they came out and toughed one out against a good Tennessee team. That team will be good. We got a little lucky that when Doak fouled out, they lost what's his nuts, their best player. What was his name?
Grant Williams.
Yes, thank you. That dude's good too.
That dude's real good. That's like good. I think he's very similar to Diedrich,
mm-hmm,
in a lot of senses. And actually, if you look at KenPom, I think Grant Williams is the number three ranked player. And Diedrich is number two.
How about that?
Similar style. You know, who knows if they're going to battle it out in this. Very efficient, you know, low post style games, have a mid range game. You know, they both have that old man tough game. And, you know, we'll see if that continues on.
Annoying.
But you know what? Grant Williams is a Bill Self player. Like, you could see that guy being like a junior or senior who's finally figured it out for Bill Self, who just comes in that year and just kills it.
Yeah. Well, Andrew, let's talk for a second about the rankings. We got jumped in NYC.
We got jumped in New York. We got jumped to New York. We got jumped by Gonzaga.
Of all teams to get jumped by in New York City.
Jumped by the Zags. That sounds like a West Side Story thing. We got jumped by the Zags.
So I don't really care.
I don't either. I mean, it was by one vote in both the coaches poll and the AP poll. By the way, I think the AP poll, why it was not a tie was because Jesse Newell voted for Duke.
Jesse Newell.
Jess, you're probably going to listen to this podcast because Smacker Miles was on it earlier. Ooh. Jess, you voted for Duke, and that kept us from being number one?
Jesse.
I don't care. I really don't care. I get why you did it. I don't care.
Whatever. I still don't care. I'm actually okay being number two. Although, is Gonzaga going to lose another game? Like, we're talking about Duke going undefeated.
They've got some tough games. I think they've got North Carolina coming up in Tennessee.
Okay. They got a couple
tough games. Am I confusing them with somebody else? Let me just click on them real quick. I will tell you, they do have North Carolina and Tennessee in back-to-back games here in the second week of December. So they're going to have to prove it. I mean, if they win those two games, then, you know, that's great. That's a big time program, and they'll deserve that ranking. But right now, whatever, those rankings are, you know, just something for Jeff Borzello to talk about on Twitter.
I've got good news, Andrew. Twitter finally came through with some very legitimate questions for Smacker.
Because for a while there were just grass questions.
there were grass questions and sup questions. Like, that's all it was. Now we've got some legitimate questions. So I don't.
Well, Smacker, we don't have her.
The good news is Smacker is copied on all the questions. So maybe she will reach out to these fans individually. Unlikely, but you never know. So sorry, everybody that reached out and finally started asking some good questions. Maybe next time we will get Smacker on again. Andrew, anything else from the basketball side of the coin?
You know, we've got some of the tougher games over with. Just looking ahead, you know, we've got just some random games against random teams coming up. Stanford's one that, you know, they're not as good as they have been under your boy Floor Burns, Jared Haas. but we do have a Villanova game that, you know, it's Villanova team beat Florida State this past weekend.
Yeah, they look better.
Maybe have turned the corner. So that's going to be a tough matchup. And then we do go to Arizona State revenge game after that horrible game at Allen Fieldhouse last year.
Courtside for?
We sat courtside for that horrible, horrible, horrible game. You know what? And they're not bad either. They're pretty good.
Yeah.
They are not ranked highly in KenPom, but they've got some pretty good wins. They're undefeated. They play Nevada here in a couple next Friday, and so that'll be a test. But that's a game that, you know, we could initially blown off at the beginning of the year. That's our first true road game, so that's going to be a tough one. So, you know, looking ahead, we don't have an easy slate because you got the Villanova game and got that Arizona State game and obviously Kentucky later. So it's going to be a fight to get to Big 12 season. But, you know, I think that this team can be ready to face those guys, you know, be ready to face Villanova. And then we'll get to it. We'll talk about the Big 12 later. But, you know, you look at the Big 12 at the beginning of the year, Kevin, I don't know if you follow much of these other teams, but the Big 12 is going to be really good this year.
Yeah. There's been some weird games. Like, they've won some awesome. There's been a couple of games where, like, wow, you know, Texas won that game, or, you know,
Texas
whatever.
Beat North Carolina.
I know. But then you look down and there's some games where, like, whoa, head scratchers. How did that team lose to that team? So I'm willing to kind of throw that out this time of year. Like, you never know what's going to happen. But,
I just tell you, this Iowa State team is pretty frosty, too.
I know.
Two of their guys who are out and they're just demolishing people.
Yeah, that's going to be, they might be the surprising team in the Big 12. And
or Texas Tech.
Never know.
Watch out. Texas Tech's been demolishing people too. I think they're currently number one in this new net ranking.
Oh God.
They're supposed to replace the NIT, or they're supposed to replace the RPI.
Yeah.
Texas Tech, you're currently the current number one team. It was Ohio State. Now it's Texas Tech.
Of course it is.
I think we're 12th. We were 11th.
We got two top 10 wins and we're undefeated and we're 12th. Cool.
Black box formula.
Anyway, well, Andrew, let's get out of here. Got some fun games coming up for the KU basketball schedule. Really like the way the schedule's lining up now that we're undefeated through our first couple six games, especially with two good wins. Love the way this is setting up. We've got some cupcakes here in the interim. I don't say that, knock on wood, but some games we can get right. And then obviously we got winter break time. Bill Self, winter break time is the time of the year that we all look forward to seeing the team grow. And this team has a long way to grow and Andrew, a very high ceiling to go to. So tons of fun. Looking forward to that. Thanks very much to our new pal Smacker Miles for coming on the podcast. Really appreciate that. Looking forward to seeing what she and the fam can bring to the KU football team. Andrew, anything else before we get out of here?
Just Rock Shock Jayhawk, Kevin, and excited for Les Miles, excited for this basketball season. It is a good time to be a Jayhawk.
Absolutely. Until next time, Rock Shock. And if you love it, then I love it because we Hawks, baby. I tried to tell him every time we on the court.
I tried to tell them that we never coming up short. I tried to tell them that we came here to get the win. I tried to tell them that they should never let us in. They say that we the best, but I say we the greatest. That's why they try to knock us down and always seem to hate us. That's why they talk about us. They know they can never fade us. It's tradition and that Kansas pride that has truly made us. They know just how we feel. They know at Allen Field that we gon' keep it real. Shout out to Bill. This for them fans that waited off in them long lines, camped out before the games, and they stayed a long time. Every dollar that we spend just to watch our team win, on a Jayhawk shirt or a new clean Benz with a sticker on the back with the K and the U. Uh-huh, yeah, baby, that'll make you say, ooh. We at the top of the top, just like we should be. Started from the bottom, thanks to what James could see. Dr. Naismith made a game for man, changed lives for the players, and did the same for the
fans. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby.
All them years that we've been cheering, everything that we've been hearing, all them spreads that we've been clearing, never been no team we fearing, and look how Bill got us steering. All them tournaments appearing with no team that's interfering. Nine times get to cheering with them banners held high and the crowd going wild. Night before the Final Four, you can't even sleep now. Yeah, we at the peak now, we can't even leap down. March Madness, man, we've been waiting weeks now. If you a Hawks fan, go ahead and hold them ones high. Shout out to the boosters showing love and the alumni. I'm speaking for the fans, even though I'm just one guy. We appreciate the love, love won't run dry. Imagine the state of Kansas with no Jayhawks. That's like having no streets but trying to jaywalk. They see us as support and we see them on the court. So we keep it loud and do our best so we don't come up short. We win together and we lose together. But win or lose, we still booze together. Struggles in my life will change me as a man. But one thing that'll never change, I'll be a Jayhawk fan.
I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces. I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks.